This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
All right, we do college football recap on Tuesdays, especially when the Skins play on a Sunday. Denton does the college football recap show for Sirius XM on Friday night and Saturday night. This was a huge Saturday because we had the Alabama-Tennessee afternoon, followed by the big one, Texas and Georgia at night. I'm assuming that's where you will start.
Yeah, we're going to start Texas and Georgia, and obviously there's a couple of different directions we could go with the game. We could talk about the temper tantrum that the fans threw, and we will get there, Kevin.
We have to.
We have to. But I thought the game itself was a really interesting depiction on how we were kind of fooled. I say we. I was definitely fooled because I was of the assumption that Texas was the best team in college football and that Quinn Ewers was the best quarterback in college football, and what we saw was the opposite. Now, Carson Beck didn't play great for Georgia on the other side, although I do think a drive after the temper tantrum was incredibly impressive from him. But Georgia's a completely different animal when they have the ability to establish the run game, which they did not have against Alabama because they got down so quickly. But I was really impressed with the way the Bulldogs played. And look, if you don't have a quarterback that can run against Georgia and you allow them just to let the pass rushers go loose, you're in a lot of trouble because they have so many dudes on that defensive line. Jalen Walker, Michael Williams, who was unleashed for the first time. I mean, those two guys combined for five sacks.
Walker was amazing.
They got some dudes on the defensive line. It was really impressive to watch Kirby Smart and that defensive staff completely stifle the best play caller in college football in Steve Sarkisian.
With, by the way, an excellent offensive line, we thought.
Right.
So, I think the first half of that game, I mean, at one point, like six drives of offense, they had like 38 total yards of offense. Like, it was an absolute
throttling. That was the entire
half. I'm sorry?
That was the entire half. They had like 38 yards for the entire half.
It was an unbelievable number for a team so explosive. Georgia's defense was just overwhelming. I mean, it was oppressive. Like, Texas had no shot to move the football, and Georgia built a 23-0 lead, and that was with multiple turnovers in the first half. You know, Beck threw two interceptions in the first half, and then he ended up throwing another one, which we'll get to in the second half. But it was such a beatdown. I thought it was stunning to watch. I'm with you. I did not expect that. You know, not Alabama was up 28-0 on Georgia. Texas could not make forward progress doing anything. Like, it just was beating ahead their heads against the wall. It was such a defensive mismatch for what we thought it wouldn't be. So, to your point, Kirby Smart, what they did defensively, ended up being, to me, the story of the game. I mean, Texas got beat 30-15. They did get back into the game. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the Georgia defense, Denton, was the story of the game. Texas was 2-for-15 on third down, 1-for-5 on fourth down. They were 3-for-20 on the two most important downs in football. They only ended up with 259 yards. This was a team averaging over 500, I think. Really impressive, Georgia's defense. Really impressive. By the way, I thought Arch actually looked better when he was in there than Ewers. And I'm a Quinn Ewers fan. But I thought Arch looked a little bit more comfortable and a little less rattled in the drive that he was in the game on, two drives that he was in the game on.
I thought he looked fine. Quinn in the second half looked way better. But it is alarming that you had to sit your guy to kind of settle him down when it was a home game. Like, I feel like there's some sort of leeway if you're going into Georgia, although admittedly Athens isn't like, it's not like Baton Rouge at night, right? It's not the most hostile of hostile environments, but it's still a tough place to play.
It was as good as it gets.
But this was at home, and you had these sorts of issues. And then the at-home
element.
It was
as good as Austin gets, is what I'm saying.
Yes, definitely.
It is a wine and cheese kind of a fan base and crowd, but that place was electric Saturday night.
It was jumping, but it is that fan base that then kind of took over the game, at least the headlines, because of the temper tantrum they threw.
So get to that. Set it up so that everybody understands what happened.
So this was early, I guess, in the second half. Georgia's driving down the field. They throw an interception where the Texas player takes it back to about the 9-yard line. He's celebrating. Everyone's celebrating. Texas had just scored a touchdown. So you're thinking, all right, there might be a little bit of momentum here to potentially make this a ball game. I mean, Texas was down 23-0 at half. It was the first time since Notre Dame that a number one overall team had been down 23-0. That game that Notre Dame was down was that BCS national championship where Manti Te'o, we didn't know if his girlfriend was real or not. So it was not a fun fraternity to be in, not a fun graphic to be a part of. But they pick off Carson Beck, which is his third interception of the game, and the officials throw a flag for a pass interference. You see the replay on television at the same time they see it on the board in Austin, and it's very clearly, at the absolute worst, an offensive pass interference. But in reality, it's a no call. It's just guys fighting for a position. Defender was not the one interfering with the play. And the fans went ballistic in Austin to the point where they're raining bottles, water bottles, Gatorade bottles, beer bottles, cans, what have you. You know, our guy Stanford Steve nearly was getting hit. He was on that sideline. He was nearly getting hit by some of these bottles. Sark had to come over and wave and ask these students to stop. And then the refs are gathering after this show of retaliation, whatever you want to call it, after this show of immaturity. The refs gather at the middle of the field, and I'm at home thinking they're about to call a penalty on the fans. This is going to go from bad to worse. I thought they were going to penalize the fans, which they should have. They had a right to do. If you're delaying a game for the mountains of bottles that are thrown on the field, you're justified in calling a penalty on the fans, and instead they flip the pass interference. So there's no penalty on the fans. They flip the pass interference. Then ultimately Texas goes down and scores. So it was 23-0 to now 23-15. It's a completely different ballgame.
It's one of the worst precedents of officiating crowd that I can remember. I mean, essentially, the fans got rewarded for being out of order and delaying the game by throwing things onto the field. Whether that's true or not, it doesn't matter. The perception is that the Texas fans delayed the game, threatened the game with their hostility and the throwing of everything you could imagine onto the field. I mean, it took 10 minutes to clear the field of all of the debris, and the referees during that time appeared to have changed their mind, and it appeared to be based on the crowd reaction. That's probably not true, but everybody thinks it's true. So that's a terrible, terrible thing for places like Death Valley and Tuscaloosa and College Station and, you know, the Shoe in Columbus. I mean, those are some rowdy, rowdy fans. On the call, Denton, I think the no call would have been the best. But let me just say this. It was called as pass interference in real time. Bad call, but I've seen much worse calls than that. Like, you know, overturning it after that, I mean, I've seen worse calls missed. There was a little bit of a tug as he was getting bowled back, the defender was, before he intercepted the pass, on the offensive player's jersey. I think a no call was the best call. I think pass interference was a bad call. But I've seen much worse interferences get called the wrong way. And that changed the game, and it appeared to change the game based on fan reaction, which is a horrible precedent, one of the worst, you know, potential precedents we've seen. We'll see what happens because of this. The fans, I thought what you thought. I thought they were going to get flagged. I thought they were going to get warned by Sarkisian, who walked down there and said, stop, stop, stop. But then I thought, no, they're continuing it. They're going to get flagged. And it turned it into a game. But you know what happened? Georgia responded with a huge drive. That third and 10, when it was 23-15 and the place was going nuts and they were backed up. Where were they? Like inside their 10-yard line, maybe?
Yeah, they were backed up against their end zone. I thought it was the best drive of Carson Beck's career.
Unbelievable throw in that third and 10 to hang in there and make that throw to, what's his face?
To Arian Smith.
Smith for 21 yards. Next play was another big play, and all of a sudden they're in the red zone, and they ended up scoring. It's 30-15. It's the fourth quarter. You know, it's not over, down two scores. But it really was a great answer to that controversy, for sure.
All right, we're short on time, so that's all we got for this week. But that was the biggest storyline.
I'm really happy for the Terps beating USC. It was a comedy of errors leading up to their comeback. They were down 28-14. Typical stuff, penalty on a field goal that was no good, and then the next thing you know, USC's in the end zone. Penalty on a punt that, you know, kept a drive alive. They're down 21-7. But then Maryland's got talent, Denton. They do have talent on their team. They've got speed. They've got playmaking ability. And they made some plays, and they beat a USC team. Just real quickly, USC has four losses on the year, Denton. All four of those games were totally winnable games, right? They lost to Michigan by three. They lost to Minnesota in a game that they could have won. Lost to Penn State in overtime. Lost to Maryland by a point. I'm glad the Terps won. It really now gives them a chance to get to six, which would make them bowl eligible for a fourth straight year. It was really a crucial, crucial game for this season. Although, you know, they're still 1-3 in the Big Ten. But good win, good job by everybody out there to be resilient and to come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Mike Sando next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.